Plan. 2 Kings chapter 2, if you'll turn your Bibles there. 2 Kings chapter 2. This thought has been on my heart for months, and it's a little different for the order of the service tonight, but I believe that the Lord had put on my heart for a reason, and I don't understand sometimes everything, but I do thank the Lord for the privilege to be a part of this church and to be a part of these people's lives and them be a part of my life. And I want to thank God publicly for the pastor that God has given us. And I want to talk to you just for a couple minutes about that tonight, if the Lord will help us. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse number 23. The Bible says, "And he went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him, and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tare 42 children of them. And he went from thence unto Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria." Dear Lord, thank you for the privilege to be in church tonight, Lord. I pray you would help us. God, I pray that your power would rest upon us. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for being real. And God, I appreciate this place, Lord. And I thank you for the people of God, Lord. Tonight, would you help us and warn us and encourage us, Lord, from your word. In your name I pray, amen and amen. The Bible said in Matthew chapter number 19 and verse number 14 that Jesus said, "Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." I want to say in that text that Jesus was reaching out his hand and blessing children and was working and moving and stirring about in their life. But in the text that I've read to you tonight, we don't see the man of God and God himself reaching out and blessing children, but we see the man of God cursing children. The Bible said that he cursed them in the name of the Lord. I want you to see, first of all, the place where these young children were raised. They were raised at a place that was called Bethel. Bethel, it simply means the house of God. These young children were raised at and around the people of God, the things of God, and the house of Almighty God. And let me say something tonight, that there is no greater place to be raised. There is no greater atmosphere than that which we have enjoyed tonight. There is no greater blessing, young people, than to be raised by some godly parents around the house of God and the things of God and the singing of God and the preaching from the Word of God. There is nothing tonight that is greater than that. Nothing whatsoever. But let me say, along with that great raising around the place of God, that there also comes with that a responsibility and an accountability. They had no respect for the things of God and spiritual things in their life. We see the place with there where they were raised. Now, let's look at their parents for just a minute. Where are they at? Where's mom and dad? I don't really know. I'm by way of application. Where is mom and dad at here? What condition are they in? And why in the world have they allowed these little children to be hanging out somewhere where no adult is, no supervision is? I don't know what all was going on, but I know they were raised around the house of God, but their parents are nowhere to be found here. Let's look at their respect. We see where they were raised. They mocked him, the Bible said. The first thing that they did was they disregarded his preaching. They said, "Go up, thou bald head, go up." Either they were making fun or making light of the message that Elisha had come back and preached
about the man of God going up, Elijah being taken from him. Either they were mocking that, saying, well, go up, and mocking his message, or they had come to the place that they didn't want him around anymore, and they were telling him, you, like Elijah, go up, get out of here, get out of my life, and leave us alone. Elijah had went up into heaven, and they were disregarding the preaching of the man of God. They didn't just disregard his preaching, they disrespected his person. They said, go up, thou bald head. He's just old fashioned. He's just the old man of God. He's just the old preacher. I mean, what really does he know? He's not young like me. He's not faced with the society I'm faced with. He's not faced with the problems I'm faced with, no, but he's the man of God. Let me say something tonight, that the message that the man of God preaches is the most current, up-to-date thing that is in this world. Amen. There is nothing. Now, he may be 100 years old. He may have grew up riding horses and buggies. He may know nothing about the society that you're faced with in college, on the job, on the campus, in school, but the message that God gives him is the most timely thing that this world has ever known. Praise God. The message that he preaches is so important because it's timely. They disregarded his person, disrespected his person. Then we see that they disallowed his position. He had just received the mantle. He was not just a man of God. He was the man of God. He was not just a prophet. He was the prophet for the time, for these people. He was the man of God with the mantle upon him, doing the will of God for his life. They had no respect for the position that God had placed him in. Quickly, let's look at what happened. We see their raising where they were raised. We see their respect. Let's look at their rebuke. It started with a stare. It actually started with him stopping. See what happened? He's walking along. They're mocking him. And the Bible said that he turned back. That's where the rebuke started. And you know what that is right there? That turning back is an opportunity to repent. I mean, we think she bears are getting ready to kill these children. But I'm telling you, they had opportunity. The Bible said the first thing that he did was that he turned back. And then the Bible said that he looked on them. Yeah. I've seen the preacher doing it, preaching. Yeah. He'll be walking, he'll make a statement, he'll start walking this way, and he'll turn around, and he'll look like this. And he's looked some of you in the eye, and he's looked me in the eye, and he stopped, and he stared, given the message from God has been preached, and that's an opportunity to respond. He stopped, he stared, and then he spoke. And that's exactly what the man of God has done time and time again. The Bible says that he stopped, he turned back, he looked on them, and he cursed them by the name of the Lord. And I've seen the preacher do it and other men of God do it. They look around, they look us in the eyeball, and they say, God is going to judge your sin. It's no different. They was doing it in the Old Testament. Yes, sir, they were. He rebuked them. But I'm going to tell you what gets me about this entire text. What gets me about the entire text is their response. What did they do when the man of God rebuked them and cursed them? What did they do? Exactly what many of us has done many times. They did nothing. And tonight we have been given the greatest church in the world as far as I'm concerned. And we have been given the greatest privilege in the world as far as I'm concerned to raise our families in a church like this. But when preaching goes out and truth which is current and up to date is given and is preached, and the man of God looks and he stares and he declares judgment upon sin, God help us to respond. God help us as young people, young men and young ladies, to respond to the truth of the Word of God and do what we know is truth. Do right. Brother Norris said it time and time again while he's preaching. Do the truth. Do the truth. I've told my Sunday school class time and time again. I said, you know what it means to walk in the Spirit? Do you know what it means to live for God? It means to do this Bible. It means to follow after truth and to do what this Bible says. They did nothing. I'm going to tell you something. You take one of these little children, you go up to them. I can take one of mine, preacher, and I can look at them, kind of stomp and go like that, and it terrifies them. It scares them. Didn't scare them a bit.
Right. Yeah. Right.
They did not respond. And we see, last of all, their reward. There came two she-bears and tore 42 of them. Elisha didn't do this. God did this. What we cannot get in our mind and understand to be able to get the difference between the man of God and the God of the man. Our battle is, we think it's with the man of God, but it's not with the man of God, it's with the God of the man. That's where the issue is, and that's where the problem is. I'm going to tell you tonight, God burned my heart weeks ago. Brother Kevin and I have talked about it numerous occasions. We've sat down and walked around, and we walked over at the camp and talked, and I was so thankful for the people of God in this place. I'm going to tell you something. When the Word of God is preached and people refuse to respond, you will end up with a group of cursed children. I'm going to tell you, If Sunday morning, next Sunday morning, we wheeled one of these young people in a wheelchair because they had got out and sinned, and they had allowed the world to control them. We wheeled them in next Sunday morning because of a wreck they had had out fooling around in the world. Wonder how many people would be in the altar then, preacher. I don't want it to come to that. We don't want to see that. None of us want to see that. But I'm going to tell you something. There was more than 42 children here, and there was some of them that walked away with a different outlook on the man of God, the power of God, and the things of God that day. Every time that a message is preached, every time as God has met with us tonight and the presence of God falls, is another opportunity to repent. What a blessing. What an awesome privilege to stand in the presence of the King, because in the presence of the King is an opportunity to be right with Him and have fellowship with Him. The saddest thing about the entire text, I believe you'll see, is the return of the man of God. Bethel is the house of God. The man of God leaves Bethel. You study the life of Elisha and find where he ever went back to Bethel. You'll never find him there ever again. They rejected the man. They rejected the message and his position. Never again does the man of God walk back through that town to preach another message. I'm telling you, I don't understand why this has been on my heart and why I stood and preached this tonight. But the presence of God that we have experienced tonight is the joy of my soul. Amen. And I understand that there are times that we fall and we fail, but with my soul and my being, I want to protect this in my life, in my wife's life, and in the life of my children. Amen. And God forbid that there'd ever be a day that my children would mock that man, mock the message of the man. Because it's not the man of God really that the problem is with. It's the God of the man. Bethel's a great place to be raised, ain't it, young people? The house of God, I mean. Isn't it a great place to be raised?
Yes, it is.
God help us to respond to truth when it's preached.
Yes, sir.